The Pat Kenny Show
with Timber Living Log Cabins.
Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. on News Talk. Conversation that counts.
Housing, homelessness and addiction have become some of the most pressing social issues facing communities across the country. And here in Wicklow, recent reports have highlighted the struggles of families living in emergency accommodation, the growing demand for social housing and concerns about the supports available for people experiencing homelessness, addiction and social inclusion. At the same time, organisations like Tig Lynn have been developing new approaches to recovery, housing and community support, including calls for expanded mobile healthcare services and new housing initiatives in the county of Wicklow. I'm delighted to be joined now by Senator Aubrey McCarthy, co-founder of Tig Lynn and a long-time advocate for people experiencing homelessness, addiction and disadvantage. Aubrey, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Pat. Thanks for having me.
You might remind us of how you and Tig Lynn became synonymous.
So I set up Tig Lynn along with a number of people back 20 years ago, but I had seen addiction in my own family growing up. And so I always said, if I get out of this alive, I'm going to try and make a difference if we can. So a number of us got together. We bought a bus, converted to a restaurant. I was the bus driver. I got a bus license and we used to pull up under Cleary's clock. Now, probably you used to meet for dates under the Cleary's clock, but we used to use it as a hub. And we met the most amazing people and we realised there's people that are marginalised, people that are homeless, people that are in addiction, and the state services don't seem to be working. So over time, we started to plug that gap. And now we've 8 centres, Wicklow, Kildare, Dublin. So after 20 years, it's an overnight success.
So Tig Lynn is a movement rather than simply a place.
Do you know, as we went along, it grew organically. And you realise the people that are homeless, they need, some people have mental health addiction support, so you need them. So we bought the National Mountaineering Centre in 2008. We got a mortgage from AIB for 110%. Do you remember those wonderful days before the tide went out? But that allowed us buy the place and help people. But then you realise the people that are in rehab, they can't go back to the very place they got sick in the first place, whether that's Drogheda or Kildare or Coolock. And so what we did is we provided housing. But then you realise the people that then have the housing, they don't have a CV. So if I go to Pat looking for a job and I say, listen, I've been in rehab for the last 6 to 9 months, you're not high on the agenda for getting hired. So we set up an education program with SETU. And so in the last 3 years, we've had 314 people through SETU doing up to master's level. So then all of that works together in a holistic way. We've set up social enterprises to get people back to work, housing, family support, and when all of those come together, you have a program that works.
Now, the housing crisis is getting worse. I mean, the homeless numbers seem to go up year on year. We don't seem to be making much progress. So as the program gets bigger, the provision of wraparound services for people becomes almost an impossible mountain to climb.
Well, we're here in Avondale, which is an absolute beautiful place, but Wicklow was the first council that believed in what we were doing. So we started to work in Greystones and we set up a transitional housing project there. There's 34 units of housing overlooking the sea, and Wicklow County Council bought in. So we had a particular cohort of people living there, and now we won the Irish Council of Social Housing Awards. We won the Best Social Enterprise Award. So for your listeners, there's a place called Rise at the Cove. It's a cafe right on the beach. That's our social enterprise. People don't go there to support a charity. They go there because it's the best bloody coffee you were going to get. And also we have a bakery there. We have a sauna. And again, all of that brings the community in to meet people who were marginalised before. They become part of the community and now we're as good as everybody else.
Now, people listening will say, that's fantastic for the people who are marginalised to have all of this. Here am I, myself and my partner are working all the hours that God sends, and we can't afford anything like that.
Yeah.
What do you say to that
I say, listen to the news. Eurostat on your headlines were saying that Ireland is one of the most, is the most expensive place for housing in Europe. You look at the emergency accommodation figures, over 17,500, 5,600 of those are children. So there's people that are marginalised, but can I tell you, we launched a homeless report this week. I'm on the Oireachtas Committee on Housing. The homeless report showed that the demographics for homelessness have radically changed. So I'm involved. I run a lighthouse project. It's called the Lighthouse on Pier Street. We feed 500 people a day. But you know what's happened, Pat? People are coming in that actually have a job and are now, they have a tent in Sandy Mount or in Ringsend, and they work 5 days a week and then they go home to rural Ireland. The reason they're living in a tent is because they cannot afford accommodation in Dublin. Last week, it's 2 weeks ago now, but I had a family in who, with two kids and parents, they ran behind in their rent and social housing. They had arrears of 14,000, which, you know, can't be allowed either. So they were evicted. They're now in a family hub on Gardiner Street, which is costing the state a multiple of the 14,000. And the kid who wants to be a basketball player is getting a bus from Gardiner Street every day to train in Talla, where he lived. You know, so there's no joint up thinking. We need to look at ways of solving the crisis.
But if you take that particular problem, I mean, you gave that as an example. So what's the fix for that particular problem?
The fix for that is prevention. You don't allow the family become homeless in the first place, because I know it makes sense, they have arrears. So one department is saying we can't tolerate that. But then the other department of government is funding the Gardiner Street, which is going to cost a multiple of the 14,000. So all I'm saying is you need joint up thinking. This is a crisis. A crisis should be temporary. You come up with a fix and then we move on. In 2016, Pat, I remember being on your show before, I appeared before the joint houses of the Oireachtas. Simon Coveney was the Minister for Housing. There were 6,000 people on the homeless emergency accommodation. I brought in a chap that I knew from the streets. He'd been given three houses from the state, but no support. So he kept losing them. You know, they turn into whatever. He lost the keys. It got boarded up. One turned into a crack. Whatever happened. So anyway, I said to the minister, with the proper supports, we can solve this. The minister said on record that homelessness would be eradicated by 2020. Since that, homelessness has trebled. The guy I brought in is now a productive member of society. He has his own mortgage. He's married. So I'm thinking, if the government don't join up with joint up thinking, like we did with COVID, like we did when the Ukrainian war broke out, we got 120,000 people housed in Ireland during the Ukraine when that started. We can do this. The numbers are high, but they're not insurmountable.
But you're asking government to make an investment in the hope that it'll all work. You know, spend the money now and you'll get the dividend later. That's not generally the way governments work.
And unfortunately, that's why the homeless numbers have trebled. Come down any evening, Pat, to our Lighthouse Cafe. And even the view of a person being homeless and you have a particular picture in your mind, I'm telling you, your mind would be blown if you come down to our cafe. Now, at the Lighthouse, there's a chap that manages for me. He was a homeless guy himself. I met him on the streets. We got him into college. He did a degree, did a master's, did a second master's. He won the Person of the Year with the Lord Mayor. He now runs it. And we have a doctor there with safety net. We have bingo, we've live music, we have a barber. So it sort of adds dignity. So it's like you going to a restaurant in Dublin, except you don't have to pay. So the demographic has radically changed.
So when you look at all of the stories of the homeless that has tripled, as you say, in those intervening years since Simon Coveney's time, and the profile changing, so you've relatively, back in the day, affluent people now without a home. It requires something really, really radical to address that, because I'm not sure the person who's commuting to the countryside to stay with the mammy at the weekend and living in a tent in Sandymount during the week, that is not sustainable going forward.
It's not. My other business is I have a removals business, so I move people all around the world. I moved an economist that was living in the IFSC recently, and he's moving because he's going to try and work remotely because Dublin is too expensive. And he would be on a high six-figure salary. He was living in the IFSC. Mm. So if people like that...
I recently met an academic from Trinity College in Dublin who's an overseas academic who can't afford to stay here, can't find a house for his family.
And you see, that's what's happening. And I got an email this week from a lady who has lived in a housing estate in Naas. She's lived there for 18 years. And because of the new tenancy laws, her landlord is spooked. So what has he done? He's given her notice. Now, he's been very decent. He's given her notice for January 2027. This woman has lived there all her life. Her family are there all her life. And so that landlord wouldn't sell, only We've changed the rules. So now I think there's something like 24,000 eviction notices being given since we changed the rules. So that's not going to work. Tenant in situ.
Why do you think that happens, that the government decides? I mean, you remember years ago they did away with bedsits because they thought bedsits were a bad thing. And, I mean, it wasn't salubrious accommodation by any means. No. But then they bring about these little hubs for students, which are little better than babysits. Than bedsits, rather. Also babysits. But little better than that.
You.
They bring those in and they're more modern. But basically, the standard of accommodation is not much better. So they did away with that. Now they tell landlords, if you're going to take a tenant on, you have to give them a minimum of 6 years. And if you go to the RTB to try and get them out because they're misbehaving, it'll take you a couple of years and you won't get a cent. I mean, that is a huge disincentive to people who want to be an honest landlord, to turn a penny and not a euro.
And you see, that's the problem. What has happened is you want to protect the tenant. You don't want people like that family I mentioned being homeless and ending up in Garden Street. But at the same time, the laws that you're bringing in are spooking the very people that provide the accommodation, so they're giving them eviction notices. So that's not well thought out. It's not joined up. It's like what I've said before, departments aren't talking, and they need to. And what we did with COVID, we all sat together. We converted hospital emergency rooms into COVID-specific rooms. We had a joint-up thinking process. I don't think I get the same with the housing. I know I'm on the housing committee, and every week I keep trying to see, where are the blockages? So I introduced a seller's pact there recently. Conveyancing should take 8 weeks. Why is it taking 8 months in Ireland? So simple things like that. If we can unblock, well, then you get housing moving. Housing delivery is the key.
Well, Aubrey, your optimism and your ebullience is always encouraging. If you could inject some of that into the body politic, we might get some movement.
Well, let's keep trying.
Aubrey McCarthy, thank you. Senator Aubrey McCarthy, thank you very much for joining us here in our temporary studio at Avondale House in County Wicklow. Aubrey, thank you.
Thank you.
The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Timber Living Log Cabins.